Welcome to the Summit Church Sermon of the Week. For more information about this podcast and other resources, please visit summitsanmarcos.com.
You know, if you have victory over anxiety, it's not just the absence of anxiety. Victory over anxiety, there's something there. And when you have victory over anxiety, you have peace, you have faith. It looks like something, and that something is beautiful. And so today I want to talk about something. Have you ever been there? Have you ever had an embarrassing moment when you like walk out of the bathroom and the toilet paper stuck to your foot? You're like, oh my goodness. Have you ever been there? You guys all got quiet real quick. Have you ever had like the lettuce hanging in your teeth and somebody's like, it's like your salad showing there, you know, and you're like, whoops. Have you ever been there? Have you ever had like, have you ever accidentally tucked your shirt into the back and then walked out? Never mind. I'm not even going there. Have you ever, like, have you ever had one of those moments where someone's like, something is showing and it shouldn't be showing? How many know sometimes you have thoughts that aren't so great and they come out the wrong spot and suddenly your thoughts are showing? Yeah. Anyway, sometimes I do. Just saying. I want to start this with a true story in history. I want to set this up with a reading a passage out of Revelation, but I'm going to go into Philippians chapter 4. And there's a true story in history, and it's actually kind of a sad story, but I wanted to put this story in context to lazy thinking, basically, is what I was thinking when I read this and at the story. This is Jesus, Revelation 3. How many know Jesus talked to about seven churches? And in those seven churches, he said some different things. This is Revelation 3, verse 1. And he said to the angel of the church in Sardis, say Sardis. These things says he who has the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know your works. This is Jesus speaking. I know your works, that you have a name, that you are alive, but you're dead. We'd call that a poser, wouldn't we? We'd call that hypocrisy, wouldn't we? We would call that a change when some people have a stated value. A value is a priority and a practice. When you stop prioritizing something and practicing something, it's not a value anymore. My marriage is a value. Is it a priority and a practice? Prayer is a... Anyway, that's a whole nother sermon. Moving right along. So in this passage, he says, I know your works. You have a name, you're alive, but you're dead. Then he says in verse 2, be watchful and strengthen the things which remain. What's watchful? Another word for being prayerful. Strengthen the things that remain that are ready to die, for I have not found your works perfect before God. Remember, therefore, how you've received and heard. Hold fast and repent. Therefore, if you will not watch, I will come to you as a thief, and you will not know the hour in which I come. If you're watchful, I was thinking of this in context to Philippians 4 on prayer. And he said, if you'll repent, you have to start with a change of thinking that turns into a change of action. If someone keeps doing something, they haven't repented. But in order to change our action, we have to change our thoughts first and acknowledge it starts up here, but it looks like something. And so in this text, I was just kind of correlating to it because if you know this is the story of the city of Sardis. Sardis was a city that was up like a fortress. It had these cliffs, and the cliffs were like, they were like a fortress. Like if you picture a stronghold, it was a city with like sheer cliffs around it. And they thought nobody can get in. You know, there's no way any foreign army can penetrate these walls or our city because you have to get up the walls, straight walls first. Then we have walls all around our city. So they felt pretty safe in that. And they had a huge military advantage because they were elevated. That's what strategy is. It means an elevated advantage. They had an elevated advantage. They had a strong hold. It was a city on a hill. And they had these big walls. But how many of you know that sometimes old walls can get cracks in them? Don't elbow anybody next to you. Just joking. As things get older, they had an attitude and a way of thinking where suddenly they just started thinking like they were just there. And I think in our Christianity, sometimes we can do a lot of things, but sometimes we can just start to rest on where we were before and we can let our guard down. And I don't think we should. And I think these people were they got a little cocky. They basically thought our walls, no one will ever get through them. And the walls had cracks in the bottom of the foundations. Nobody paid attention. And the crack got bigger and bigger and bigger. And pretty soon the cracks were so big, a human could squeeze through the cracks. And they didn't go around and inspect them, police them, but somebody figured it out. went back. They got an army. They went up the hill. They went in the wall at night. When they woke up, here's the enemy's army. This is a fact. Here's the enemy army on their walls. And when they came out of their homes and whatever, the whole wall was another army. And every place on that wall, you could see every street, every strategic place to come out. They were basically defeated on the army. The enemy was on their walls they built. But they got lazy. And I'm just saying, we can't get lazy in our thinking. And as I was thinking of this, I just thought about this. And I thought, you know, if we're going to have this kind of, like this rebuke, there was something that happened prior to this rebuke. It was preceded by prayerlessness, a little carelessness. It was probably preceded by not really honoring the presence to come into the presence of God, because God's pretty good about saying, hey, you got to take care of this. Is there any parents that try to help your kids and you try to give them some advice and you say, hey, you ought to do this. You ought to check your oil once in a while. And then the car blows up and you're going, I've been telling you to check your oil. Anybody in the house? Is only my kid's car who blew up? Sorry. Blew up. I'm like, what's your problem now? I told you to check the oil every time you fill up the gas. Hello. You do have to put oil in that thing. I'm just saying, like, you know, God will speak to his kids and tell us if there's some maintenance we need to do, but we have to go to the top of the wall and pray. Prayerlessness will cause carelessness. And another thing is like, we can let things come in where you say, you know, we can drop our guard with our thinking and just think, I don't have a problem with this. And suddenly something you didn't have a problem with, you never compromised your integrity. You compromised your integrity on something. Are you with me? Like, I remember when I first got saved, McDonald's tried to give me an extra orange juice. And I said, I don't want that. I didn't, you can charge me for it. No, I didn't do it. Just take it. I said, no, I don't want that. You can charge me for it or you can have it. And she said, don't worry about it. And I went to the front window. I didn't take it. I said, I didn't order this. And I did, but she wouldn't take it back. But she's not McDonald's. She's a minimum wage person trying to get me to rob McDonald's. I'm not robbing McDonald's, and I'm not going to be guilty of stealing over a stupid orange juice. So my integrity just said, why would I compromise my integrity over a dollar? Are you with me? And later we'd go like, I'm blessed. Ha ha. No, that's our thinking's dropping. You know what I mean? They just say, oh, just take it. Oh, I'm blessed today. They gave me an extra one. How about we go back and say, no, I didn't pay for this. Are you with me? I'm just using it as an example. Maybe your taxes, maybe your practices, maybe it's your thoughts. Maybe you have a great marriage and you really have had a really good control on your thoughts, but suddenly you start looking and you say, looking's not doing anything. If you look on something long enough, you're going to lust. You're going to want that, and thoughts will turn to actions. Are you here? I don't know. I'm preaching to somebody. Hello. So I'm just saying, you know, 1 Corinthians 10:12 says, therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. We can never underestimate the small things that can turn into a big thing. Are you with me? Some people say, well, they fell into sin. The Bible says you're led in with your own desires. If that person's a really good person, but he did a messed up thing. They have a really good heart, but they're like, you know, beating their wife and committing adultery. No, there's something wrong with their heart. That's the whole problem is in their heart. That's why they committed adultery. They got a heart problem. But before they ever committed adultery, they did it up here in their thoughts. And if they would have policed their thoughts, they never would have done it in their actions. You don't just make a decision and fall into adultery. You made a bunch of decisions in your brain before you ever manifest that. Does that make sense? This guy's a really good leader. He did this. It's like he was already thinking about a bunch of stuff. And we need to have some people close enough to say, I don't know why I'm thinking this. And I've had that where people come to me and say, I don't know why I'm thinking. And I'm like, okay, here's what you do. And you got to focus on this and you got to change your way of thinking. You know, like when I first got saved, I'd drive to work. I was doing commercial construction and I like to go pray on the cliffs. So I'd go pray on the cliffs. By the beach. I love to pray in the cliffs. But on the way to the cliffs on the beach, I would pass all these people along the beach. Hello. And there's these little girls in dolphin shorts, you know, in my mind, I'd look and I'm like, I don't have a lust problem. I don't go on the internet. I'm not doing these things. This isn't an issue. But I would look and suddenly I found myself having to like turn back and forth. And then I just said, you know what? Why am I being on the defense where every time I'm looking, so I just said, every time I look, and if I get tempted, I'm going to shout Jesus. So I would just say, I would look. If I felt tempted, I'd be like, Jesus saves. People are like, what? Jesus is Lord. Literally yelling out my window. Because I just felt like I'm not going to be the defensive one against evil or the prince and power of the air. I am the offense. I am a light. I want to shine. I'm not going to go around in fear of evil. Guess what? Didn't have a problem with being tempted with lust anymore. I could drive the beach and pray. And my prayer. And then I noticed, I'm like, wow, I don't have to scream out the windows anymore. And I know that's extreme, but I'm saying like, I didn't know. When I first got saved, they said, when people say GD, you say died for you. Well, they would say it in their heads. I didn't know I said it out loud. I was in my college group. They said, when people say the Lord's name in vain and they cuss and they go blank, blank, you go died for your sins. So I do it out loud. I was working construction. You know how many times you hear GD? So I'm working, guys over there, bleep, bleep. I'm like, died for your sins. We're all working. People are like, whoa, whoa. It got into some serious discussions. But like, are we a light or are we like, I don't know how I got off onto this. Change back. Okay. Shoot. What I'm saying is that the way we think will manifest into something. You are sons and daughters of the Lord God Most High. And we need to walk as that. And he tells us, whatever, finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there's any virtue, if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. Those I will meditate on. And things which you've learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. If you struggle with anxiety, if you're struggling with fear, there's something you can do about it. That's the point, as I'm saying, is we don't have to tolerate evil. We're not supposed to be pushed up against the rope going, I'm a Christian. What a bummer. That's why I was telling you. I was walking to the store because, but by me breaking out in the spontaneous prayer, I was overwhelmed like God was just hugging me. It was like, it was amazing how much love I felt from the Father. But in my truck, I'm driving, I'm praying, and I'm declaring, I'm so thankful for my wife who's gone to Catalina right now. And I'm like, God, I'm so thankful for my wife. I'm so thankful for my church. I started thinking of all my mentors. Are we practicing praise? Are we practicing thanksgiving? Then it'll just erupt in us because we're purposeful. Are you with me? So you can be spontaneous, but I sowed into it, and then there was a spontaneous manifestation. And that's the way we should be. We should be a fountain of praise. And so Galatians 6:7 says, don't be deceived. God's not mocked. Whatever man sows, that he'll reap. We talk about it in finances, but I want to ask you today, what about when it comes to our thoughts? We sow thoughts, and the thoughts we think manifest into actions. He who sows sparingly will reap sparingly. If you want to think, then you know, your thoughts will manifest into something. In the Old Testament, he said it this way, Proverbs 23:7, for as he thinks in his heart, so is he. Philippians 4:8, finally meditate on these things. So he gives us six things to focus on so that we can experience victory over anxiety. And these six things are really powerful. So let's look at some of these. One of my mentors taught me that this private practice determines your public performance, as I was sharing with you, that these things that I'm sharing with you, they're like categories. So number one is, he said, finally, brethren, whatever things are true. What's true? True is the opposite of whatever's dishonest and unreliable things. Don't give your mind to thinking about things that you know to be a lie. Sometimes the devil is sowing things. He's trying to put thoughts in our heads. And we need to recognize what is a lie. What is true? And whatever things are true, so whatever's dishonest or unreliable, we need to not put our mind and our thinking towards any of those things. We're transformed by the renewing of our mind. Romans 12:2 says, don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our mind. So we need to be transformed and constantly transformed by the renewing of our mind. Basically, whatever that we are going to focus on is what we're going to be transformed by. So if we focus on the world and all the world's problems, that's what we're going to manifest. And if we focus and meditate on the Word of God, then we're going to manifest His attributes. Tommy Newberry, he laid out 9 types of people who play head games. I'm going to share seven of those with you sometime during this message. One of those is a feeler. And you see this a lot in society that some people think because maybe their characteristics. We all have these characteristics sometimes, but some people, this is their common go-to. This is a person who accepts negative feelings as true without questioning them. Oops, you ever done that one? You have a negative feeling and you just think it and then you accept it and it wasn't really true. See, sometimes negative emotions, they reveal a deficiency in us, and sometimes it reveals a deficiency in someone else, but sometimes it's us. That's why when we're feeling negative feelings, if we don't have a sounding board, then we need to get a sounding board to say, this is how I'm feeling, talk to me. And somebody says, you are way off course. You need to say, okay, I'm going to shift my thinking then now. Are you with me? And if you don't think you can share your thoughts, if you don't have somebody that close, then we need to reevaluate our friendships. Just saying. The second kind of person, one is a feeler, and the feelers, they get us in a lot of trouble. You can see it in our government right now. There's people in positions in our judicial system, in our government, that just felt like something. You got a job, do your job. Stop telling me what you feel and do what you're supposed to do. I felt like this. If somebody's telling you, because I feel this, if somebody's getting corrected and they just say, I feel like you're rocking my world, sir. We got a professor in the room. Professor, you're rocking my world. Please stop. What? So he's not supposed to tell the truth because it makes you feel negative? Maybe you got a problem with what he's saying and what he's saying is true. How about we like, just because I feel it, my feelings could be messed up. So what I'm saying is feelings can be liars. And if we just go by feeling, he didn't say walk by the way you feel. He said walk by faith. So we need to learn what the word says and learn what truth is and learn also that we can feel a negative feeling. And sometimes it means we got to get something straight in our own life and we make an adjustment. The other type of person that's kind of we don't want to be like, number two is the classical guesser. And they pretend to know what other people are thinking and they assume the worst ahead of time. And can I just tell you right now, that's wrong. Like, oh, they're thinking this. Oh, they're probably thinking that. You know, I this and that, and I saw their face. You know, I was in the bathroom, and as I was, you know, doing my hair to get ready to come out, they didn't say anything about my new outfit. Oh, they probably think I look fat. They probably don't like me. They probably this. They probably that. It's like, whoa, whoa, whoa. How about they have indigestion because they ate something bad, and their face is just because they don't feel good. How about they have a problem with somebody at home? How about they just were praying for somebody who had cancer and their concern and their face and their concern is nothing to do with you? Sometimes we think that it's like, you know what I mean? So how about we don't do that to other people because it's not God. It's not God love. 1 Corinthians 13:5 says, love doesn't act rudely and love doesn't seek its own and love is not provoked and love thinks no evil. Do you know the word thinks no evil? Think it's an accounting term. It means to reckon to somebody's account. Are you illegally charging to somebody's account? Are you already saying the person is thinking evil when they're not even thinking evil? People come up to you, well, you know, I know you had a problem with me the way you looked at me. And you're like, somebody just told me that their so-and-so was in critical condition. I was concerned. Are we charging to other people's account? We already know what they're thinking. Whoa, that's not love. Love believes the best. Love doesn't take into account a wrong suffer. Love thinks no evil. So if we can't be this guesser that pretends that we know everything about everyone, stop it. Be a lover, not a guesser. Hello. How about we love with our thoughts first before? Love manifests into actions, but first we love up here. We choose to love. We don't, and we've got to learn how to tear down lies and identify the difference of love and lies. Can I just ask you a question? Do you think Jesus really still thought Judas was acting like a friend when he betrayed him? No. Jesus basically knew, right? But he said, friend, and Judas kissed him. He could have said, you stinking traitor, you're going to burn in hell. Maybe not like that, but you know what I mean? Maybe you would have said that. I don't know. But he said, friend, how about we can think and believe and even speak over people, even when we pretty much have a pretty good idea of knowing that maybe there's betrayal, maybe they don't love you so much, maybe they don't think that way of you. We can do that. And we can discipline our thoughts to do that. We can discipline our actions and our mouths. So one is we need to tear down lies. 2 Corinthians 10:5 says, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity. I like the NIV. It says, we take captive every thought. That means if we have a thought that's going out there, like they probably this, they probably that, we need to grab that thought and arrest it. If you start thinking my spouse this, my spouse that, my boyfriend this, my boyfriend that, my girlfriend this, my that, grab that thought and take captive and then flip it around and turn it, put it under the love test and start declaring, I'm going to believe the best, declare all things, hope all things. Are you with me? How about we just believe the best in people and start declaring the best? Maybe they'll start walking like the best if we start thinking in love over them. People they're going to move to your expectation. Expectancy is the atmosphere of miracles. Let's expect it. Let's declare it. Let's move into that. When you get a lie that's not based on truth, you have some options. Now, you can just let it sit there. You can allow it there. You could meditate on that. Have you ever seen a little kid do that? I hate you, mommy. I hate you. I hate you. I hate you. I hate you. You don't love me. You don't love me. And you're like, your mom loves you. You know, you're like, come on. Hello. You're just working yourself all up into a little tantrum saying mommy doesn't love you. Mommy loves you. Hello. Just because you couldn't get ice cream, right? Couldn't get the keys to the car, and all of a sudden, you know, you're the worst, are you, blah, blah, blah. How, you know, I'm just saying, like, come on now. We have a challenge on what we do with our thoughts. But I want to ask you something. Are you going to allow an evil thought to occupy the privacy of your mind? Because your private practice is demonstrated in your public performance. And what you think you say, even in your private place, is going to come out. And I already said that. People who lust in private, they end up lusting in public. People that think about stealing in private, steal in public. And you could take it to any area. I'm just saying, like let's arrest it in our private time, and then it won't come out in our public life. Ephesians 2 tells us that there once none of us are exempt, right? Ephesians 2, what's it say? That we all once walked according to the prince and the power of the air. There is evil in the air. That doesn't mean we walk around fearful, oh, there's evil. No, we're a light shining in a dark place. But there is evil. You can tune in to that. When you're in your car, you can tune in and push the button to whatever station you want. You want country, you want jazz, you want contemporary. What do you want? You can tune into the prince and power of the air, or you can tune into the one who's the Lord over heaven and earth. Because there's a kingdom message from God, and there's a kingdom of this earth. And so we have to identify and then take captive those thoughts, and there's a way to do it. And part of it, he gives us instructions. Psalms 119:97, he says, oh, how I love thy law. It's my meditation day and night. When you find yourself meditating and thinking more on bad than you do good, you got a problem. You got to shift that. Psalms 119:165, great peace are those who love your law. Philippians 4:7, and this peace will guard our hearts and mind. What is that? So we need to embrace it. Second thing I want to tell you is he says, whatever is noble. We're to focus on whatever is noble or honorable. Philippians 4:8, finally, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble. Noble refers to what's dignified and worthy of respect. Continue the list of people that play head games, the things that you're not supposed to do. The third kind of person is a justifier. They remind themselves of all the reasons that they're entitled to these negative emotions. And they kind of say stuff like, if you knew what they did, you'd understand why I'm feeling this way. You got a friend and you're like, dude, shake it off. Come on now. That's something I loved about Teresa. Teresa didn't like, you know, the boys. She's like, shake it off. That's the way she was raised with a bunch of brothers. It's like, shake it off, move on. You know what I mean? It's like, you can't have a little pity party on yourself. It's like, life is tough sometimes. Shake it off. You know what I mean? It's like, come on. Sometimes you start to tell someone, they go, if you only knew what they did. It's like, okay, wait a minute. Now, are we justifying sitting there and then allowing ourselves to sit in a place? Is it really a justification? I get it. We need to the first part of this verse, when you go up in verse 4, he starts with telling us there's an exchange in prayer. But once we've gone to prayer and say, they hurt me, I forgive them, we move on and we focus on good things. So there is a point when we forgive someone or we deal with something, but we can't meditate on it. We can't sit in it. We're not justified. Oh, I deserve to be this way. Do you? I don't know. Does a child of the king deserve that? What does a child of the king have to do with thoughts that aren't noble? We should have noble thoughts. We should be thinking. We should be declaring, I am blessed. I'm a child of the king. I am blessed. I walk with blessing. I have favor on my life. We should have a thinking that aligns with what he said about us. We should be coming. We can tell people about something that will change their entire eternity. It's like, we're blessed. And he tells us in 1 Peter 2:9, you're a chosen people. You're a royal priesthood. That means we get to walk with that royal thinking, that noble thinking, not thinking that's unfitting of somebody who would be royalty. Can you imagine a king or a queen getting all caught up into something? They're like, I'm not going to get caught up into that. And so we need to walk in the same manner. Number three, whatever's just or right, depending on your translation. And just speaks of, it refers to conformity to God's standards. And this talks about, you know, that God has a standard, his word has a standard. It's not just how I feel, as we were talking about. It's not just, it's God's standard. So what is God's standard? You know, and what does God do? Basically, some people say, whatever's just. Well, I want justice. No, you don't. You want revenge. Basically, you're looking for revenge. But last I looked, that's not the God of the new covenant. You're in a new covenant. I have the right for justice. No, you have the right to forgive. Anything you say can and will be brought up in the courts of heaven. He forgave you. We have the right to forgive. What is just? Just is his standard. What is his standard? What would Jesus do? God's a forgiving God, not vengeful. So when you're thinking vengeful thoughts, it's like we need to let those vengeful thoughts go. We need to capture those and say, nope, not here. I'm going to be a forgiver. I'm going to be a lover. I'm going to be someone who loves people, who forgives people, who I want my joy. I want to walk in peace. Revenge, not so good. So we want to think God thoughts. A few other people on the list, I tried to put them in categories that kind of fit the opposite of what God's telling us to do. The fourth one would be an identifier. They think that they stick personal meaning in everything. They overestimate events and relate to them. It's like they think it's all about them. You know, I think I was sharing last service about the car. Did I share that this service? This person in our church was driving down the road and they made a mistake. Anybody done a bad driving thing? Come on. You ever been doing your hair when you shouldn't have? You're doing your lipstick. You're looking, doing a text. Come on. Are you thinking about something? Guys, come on. I know you're not doing lipstick there, guys, hopefully. But, you know, have you ever been driving and you do a bad thing on the road? We make mistakes, right? Well, this guy went road rage on him, cuts him off, does a little road rage act, follows him to their job. Then they go to work, get out, window smashed on their car. That's like pretty extreme, but that's an identifier. Like, you mess with me. Like, no, they just were driving bad. That guy probably drives bad too sometimes. Everybody does. You made a mistake. It's like, move on. But that's there's something where sometimes people, they think everything relates to them. So they had to go and then get even. And it's like, come on, how about forgiveness? Where's forgiveness? So I know that's extreme, but sometimes you can assassinate people. And we talked about them breaking the windows, smashing on their car, but what about, you could do it in your head. Some of you assassinate people right there. You're thinking, oh man, I hope you get yours. You did that to me, well, And you might not manifest it, but like, how about we pull those thoughts down and we become quick to forgive and not looking for people to get revenge and not gloating in somebody that maybe did something to you that they had something bad happen to them. We need to be those who are just and right, and we focus on just thinking and recognize when we have a thought that looks vengeful or a thought that looks like it's not to God's standard, then we conform to God's standard. The Bible says in Proverbs 27, it says, the just man walketh in integrity, and his children are blessed after him. What a beautiful picture. And number four is whatever's pure, whatever's just, whatever things are pure. And pure speaks of not mixed with moral impurity. And I kind of want to profile one of the fifth one I want to profile is the blamer. And the blamer points his finger. We have the blood of Jesus. We get to go to God and say, forgive us. If we sin, we go and we say, we have an advocate and we say, forgive me. Blamers like Adam and Eve, they just blamed everybody. And the blamers are people that they actually do stuff and they refuse to take responsibility. So don't just be a blamer with your thought pattern. Don't just blame it on everybody. It's like, try not to put blame. Get free from blame and walk in what's pure and let your mind focus on what's pure and don't be a blamer. The Bible talks about let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth. And the fifth one is what's lovely. And it doesn't mean good looking, even though it'd be nice just to focus on what's good looking. But it's not lovely. It means what promotes peace. Have you ever heard somebody say they have an ugly attitude? You ever heard that? It's like, you little missy, get over there and deal with that attitude, little mister. I don't know, what'd your mom tell you? You know? You need to change the attitude. We correct attitudes before because bad attitudes turn into bad actions. And this is saying don't focus on things that have it's opposite than a good attitude. A good attitude, what's lovely means pleasing or winsome, and the opposite would be an ugly attitude. And that brings us to the sixth person I wanted to say don't be like, and that is cynics. Don't be a cynic. They're drawn to the negative. They're always finding something wrong. You know, I mean, think about it. You know, like some people, you could find the biggest diamond in the world, and in that biggest diamond, if it's a real diamond, there is some imperfection. There's some little speck. If you get one of those things, you put it to your eye. Cynics can even, like, you could show them the biggest diamond in the world, and they'll take their little eye thing and go, there's still an imperfection. It's like, it's the biggest diamond in the world, and you're picking out the little bit of dirt. Can I just tell you, people don't want to hang around with cynics because all of us have a little dirt. We all have imperfections. We're moving towards perfection in Christ. That's our goal. But if you're around cynics, cynics always point out the dirt in everything, and then people don't want them pointing out in them, so they kind of don't have a lot of friends. Let's not be cynics, and let's not think cynical thoughts. Let's not always focus on what's wrong and be a magnet to what's wrong. Let's be those who are encouraging others. Prophetic talks about encouraging other people. Let's encourage them. Let's edify them. Let's bless them. And yes, even prophets brought out bad. Agabus said there's going to be a famine. But if that's all that your thinking is critical things, then you need to go to God and say, make my thinking a little more lovely and let me think on things that promote peace, not conflict. And number six is whatever is good, report. And a good report is pretty basic. He speaks of what's positive versus negative, which brings us to the last person who's a forecaster, and forecasters predict that it's always going to be negative. You ever been around somebody? The world's always ready to blow up. Everything's ready to fall apart. Everything's, we'll never make it. We're all gonna, I mean, something's always negative. It's like, don't be a forecaster. Don't be that. That forecasters predict the worst case scenarios. How about we predict the best case scenario? Don't you like to be around somebody who's always looking for the good? Come on, diamonds are found in dirt. Let's look for the good. There's a diamond everywhere. You just got to pull it away out of the dirt. Stop looking at the dirt. Look at the diamond in people. Mark Twain said it this way. He said, I've been through some terrible things in my life. Some of those things actually happen. He put himself through all kinds of stuff that never happened. If we don't control our thoughts, you put yourself through all kinds of worry and it doesn't even happen. Most of our fears doesn't even happen. They don't even manifest. So why worry about them all? You with me? Instead, let's just focus on those things. And then the last one, he kind of ties this up. Instead of these little categories, these plurals, he brings it down to just a category of thought. And he said, if there's any virtue, if there's anything praiseworthy, let's do that. Let's focus on what's worthy of praise. And he said, think on these things. NASB says, dwell on these things. The King James says, think on these things. Amplify says, think on, weigh, take an account, fix your minds on them. So think on these things. This is a habit of thought. So let's not just say we're going to do it. Let's make it a habit. Let's shift our habit of thinking. Let's change it to say, I want my habit of thinking. So if you're manifesting peace, you probably got a good handle on this. If you're wrestling with those things, you know, and sometimes maybe you're really good at this, but during a certain season in your life, suddenly you start finding anxiety. You're not sleeping. Something's going wrong. Maybe you found a little crack in the wall. Don't neglect the crack in the wall. Go to the tower and put your prayer on the top of the tower and avoid some strongholds from an enemy coming in your own life. So, and I'll end with this last verse, verse 9. You guys have been so good. 34 minutes. Here we go. And verse 9, he says, practice what you've learned and received. If you don't practice it, then it's worthless. Practice what you've heard and seen in me and model your way of living on it. And the God of peace, of untroubled, undisturbed well-being will be with you. How's that amplified? How beautiful. Next week, I want to talk about probably something I think is one of the best tools of all on really changing and shifting these things in our life. But it starts with our thoughts. And we'll talk about the actions and talk about some good things we can do in practice to shift that, even to shift our thinking. So would you stand with me today? Oh God, I just recognize that maybe this was a broccoli sermon. Maybe this was one of those sermons that people are like, this one's like some broccoli. I mean, like sometimes they're like, I don't want to eat it, but it's really good for you. So, but I really hope that it did something to shift your thinking, because God wants you to walk in peace. Can I just tell you, he's not upset above the clouds. God's not in fear. He's not afraid. He doesn't have any anxiety. He has perfect peace. And when we get to heaven, there's no anxiety and there's no fear in heaven. So he wants us to bring more of heaven to earth. And you're the agents of that. So first we walk in it, then we distribute it. And we get to give it out to people around us. We get to be, when they just say, everything's going crazy and you have peace, can you tell me about your Jesus? I mean, your witness is so powerful. Let that light shine. And I just pray for you that your light would shine so bright around you. I pray that your sleep would be good as you apply these principles. I pray as you discipline yourself in your thinking, and even as you get a partner that will help walk through and be accountable, that your thoughts would totally shift. And I pray that there'd be more peace and more joy in your life. I pray you'd find your smile every day. I pray you'd practice that final 15, that the 15 minutes before you go to sleep, you just start counting your blessings and talking about all the good things in your life. And when you first wake up, the first 15 minutes of your day, I pray it would be all on these same things, that you would praise God and have thankfulness coming from your lips, and that your prayers would always start with thankfulness, because a God of peace will be with you and he'll strengthen you to walk through your day, whatever you face. But I pray that final 15 and that first 15 would just rock your world and shift and change your entire life. I pray, God, that as we apply these things, you said, if we act and if we apply these, then the God of peace. And we recognize your peace surpasses our understanding. It goes beyond natural ability. It goes into a supernatural realm where we get to walk in peace in the midst of a storm like Jesus. We get to let Jesus call us out like Peter and walk on water in the midst of a raging storm, because we heard your voice. I pray they would hear your voice. Would you pray this prayer with me and just say, Father, I want that peace. I ask you to forgive my sins. And I forgive all those who have hurt me in the past and in the present. I ask you to forgive me of all my sins. And I receive forgiveness. I ask you to fill me with your Holy Spirit and your perfect peace. See, Jesus walked in a room one time, and it was scary because the door was locked. And he walked in the room and they were a little freaked out. And he said, my peace I give to you, my peace I leave with you. So I just pray that prayer. Would you just receive for a minute? I release the peace of God in your life. I release the peace that surpasses your mind, surpasses your understanding. I pray it would go into your thinking, that you would practice it in your prayer life, that you would manifest it in your home life, and that you would walk in God's joy and peace like you've never seen before. In Jesus' name, amen. Love you. We'll see you next week. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to the Sermon of the Week. Be sure to visit summitsanmarcos.com for other exciting content from Summit Church.